Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live with your hosts, Jim and Sandy Young. Welcome, everyone. I am Reverend Sandy.
And I am Reverend Jim.
Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live. Our show is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. For anyone interested, Jim and I do personal readings. And if you'd like to have a personal reading, you can call 304-567-3354 or email sandysangeltalk@aol.com. That's sandysangeltalk@aol.com. We want to thank everybody for joining us today for our Angel Talk radio show. And today we are going to be talking about prayers, miracles, and mysteries. First, though, we'll start off with a little message for everyone. Many people seek power, but not necessarily for the right purposes. Power can corrupt oneself if you are not aligned to the divine energies of the light. When you are living in God's power, it is given abundantly to you, but you must also share this power with others too. We are meant to help, teach, and recognize the needs of others, not to glorify ourselves in front of others. If we are serving a higher spiritual purpose, we will be guided in the direction we need to go. We will be asked by the divine being to speak the words needed to an individual when necessary, to inspire and uplift the hopes and dreams of some who have lost their way, and to know the love you share will continue to flow well beyond the person you're focused on. As you touch the lives of others with love and compassion, it offers them a chance to see someone really cares and that they are not alone in life. When our intentions are pure, it is not an effort to extend ourselves and help others. As a matter of fact, it seems natural and something we should always do. We need to help prepare people to actually see and know God and to receive the fullness of His glory. Thank you and blessings to you.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start off here with prayers, miracles, and mysteries. Prayers play such an important role in life, even for those who have passed on. Pray for the dead, for they are only sleeping, as the Lord indicated. And if we are able to attune to such, there we may help. Though we may not call back to life as the Son of God did, we can point the way. Those who have passed on need the prayers of those who live aright. For the prayers of those who would be righteous in spirit may save many who have erred even in the flesh. When praying, remember it's about being conscious of what you say, connecting with the body, mind, and soul, a trinity, allowing your soul to be one with spirit and to feel that which you are praying for, so the energies or vibrations are projected to the divine holy trinity and then will be received in pureness. It is the concerted effort of the physical consciousness to become attuned to the consciousness of the Creator. Prayer is also supplication for direction and understanding, where meditation is listening to the divine within. Prayer is a supplication or a plea to the superior, where meditation is you are meeting uncommon ground. Now remember, all prayer is answered, but don't tell God how to answer it. When a group of people pray as a united effort, The prayers of 10 could save a city. The prayers of 25 may save a nation. So when done in union, there is strength. We as a whole body, mind, and spirit need spiritual food. So prayer, meditation, and thinking upon spiritual things helps a lot. Edgar Cayce said, when praying, if possible, face east. And the most powerful time is 2 a.m. Know that he that would know the way must often be in prayer, joyous prayer, knowing God giveth life to all who seek in sincerity to be a channel of blessings to someone. You know, for many years, I would invite people to join into a group prayer and healing session. And then when I met Jim, we would all do it together. We would all focus on a specific person and ask for healing to the individual that needed it. What I found was when the group had just a couple people participating, it was successful, but took a little longer to achieve what we wanted to do. When the group had 10 to 12 people, when we focused on the individual, within 5 minutes, their energies were changed. They had lots of light around them and sometimes physical healing changes that happened. In one situation, a person who was in the intensive care unit was worked on energetically, and amazingly enough, the next day, he was so much better, they released him from the hospital. This is God at work. When we have enough faith in God, there is nothing we can't do through him. When we doubt ourselves and our abilities to be a channel of energy through the divine Holy Trinity, we cancel out most of the abilities we could have had. Faith and belief are required to have full success. One time, I was visiting my mother in Pennsylvania, and she told me she could not move one of her fingers. She had hurt it, and it was locked in place and very painful. She knew I could do prayer and energy work, but was resistant to let me help her while I was there. So I said to her before I left, "Can I do distant energy work on you?" Her, truly not believing it would work from a distance, said, "Yes, go ahead." So when I got home, I focused on her and asked for the divine Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to assist in this work. Then began focusing on her. At that very time, nature decided to play a role in this energy work also. A beautiful butterfly landed on my mother's hand. She was sitting outside on the porch in a chair. Her hand was on the armrest, and this beautiful butterfly landed on her hand. Because she didn't want it to fly away, she was very still. This allowed the energy work to take place easily and quickly. And once the energy work was done, the butterfly flew away. And amazingly enough, she could bend her finger just fine after that. So not only does the divine beings of light assist when we ask, but nature enjoys being a part of our love for others to help them also. When you are doing prayers, meditation, or energy work, it is very important to listen to the intuitive message you may receive and to allow yourself to observe, are it colors or just visions that have colors in them or symbols? And when the beings of light cannot get the clear message through to you, they will use other means that your senses or mind will connect with. Then, if it is a symbol or a color, you can try to interpret the meaning of it. Possibly, the person you are working with will have a connection to the symbol or color. And possibly, it could be a vision of a scene somewhere, a park, a house, a landscape, or even an animal. If you are given the message of what it means, then share it with them. This could help them greatly. But if not, let them try to see if it means anything to them. I enjoy working with the angels of the light, and although they are in the etheric realm, their energies fully can project into the physical realm. There have been these times when I have exhausted my energies to the point of feeling sick. When Jim and I would go to expos or conferences, we would drive 3 or 4 hours to get to our booth we rented, and then setting up everything at the booth, doing sessions all day with people, and teaching an hour class. All of this in one day. Then we had to pack up everything and drive back home. We were both worn out after this. And I would ask the angels to help me by doing some energy work on myself and Jim. They were always willing to come and work on us. You could sometimes see energy moving above the body and projecting into the body. They always made me feel so much better. I have found when I really needed the angels and beings of light, they were always there for me. Nature has always amazed me too. Nature spirits, divas, the elements are very real and can be a great help. Nature so wants people to understand its spiritual self, not just the physical. I like to include nature when doing energetic work on the land where we live. As I communicate to the divas and overlighting divas, they will tell me what nutrients the land needs when it's out of balance. I have a soil balancing kit and other nutrients and essences that they can indicate which ones are needed for balancing the land. And once they have shared what is needed, the nature spirits will infuse the nutrients or essences into the land. This whole process can take anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes. But once it is finished, the energies on the land feel so much different, a lot better. Even animals like being on the balanced land, they feel more at peace on the land also. It is important to include nature along with the divine Holy Trinity and angels and masters and your guides all in the work that you do. But you must ask and include them doing this. Annalise Gara noted that having the knowledge of truth allows us to be free from those things that hold us back from the bondage of others' beliefs and opinions, free to partake of the light of eternal truth. In it is contained the mysteries of the power of godliness. But no, if you are intentionally misusing it, you will be brought to judgment. These mysteries of God are laid under a strict command that they shall not impart only according to the portions of his word, which he doeth grant unto the children of men, according to the heed and diligence which they give unto him. And therefore, he that will harden his heart, the same receiveth the lesser portion of the word. And he that would not harden his heart, to he is given the greater portion of his word. And to it is given unto him to know the mysteries of God until he know them in full. So those who harden their hearts shall know nothing concerning his mysteries. And then they are taken captive by the dark side, the devil, and led to destruction. This is what is meant by the chains of hell. The chains of hell are the chains of a sealed mind, a mind that has shut out light, a hardened mind and heart that has lost the power to kneel humbly before the Lord, to know truth, rather judge according to their own understandings. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Nevertheless, the day shall come when you shall comprehend even God being quickened in him and by him. Then shall you know that you have seen me, that I am, and that I am the true light that is in you, and that you are in me. Otherwise, you would not be about. So as we open our minds to these great dynamic truths that can only be revealed to our understanding by the Spirit of God, we will comprehend the very glory of truth, and thus we'll receive a knowledge of truth as it was and is it is. We were the Spirit of truth in the beginning, even as Christ was the Spirit of truth. Yea, we were a very part of the divine Spirit and power of God. Our mission in this life is to bring forth that Spirit or light and to let it so shine that others seeing the works will glorify God, who himself will be doing the works through us. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, and every man whose spirit receiveth not the light is under condemnation. For man is spirit. The elements are eternal, and spirit and elements, inseparable, connected, receiveth a fullness of joy. And when separated, man cannot receive a fullness of joy. The elements are the tabernacle of God. Yea, man is the tabernacle of God, the abiding place. Even temples, and whatsoever temple is defiled, God shall destroy that temple, or your body, and it shall die. Here is a knowledge of truth as it is, a knowledge that man can become that very Spirit of truth which he was in the beginning, and growing from grace to grace, receive a fullness of the glory of God, or all power, both in heaven and on earth. But it must be done while in the flesh, even as Christ did it. He is our Redeemer, as he marked the exact way for us to follow, and the perfect pattern for us to become even as he is, and do even the greatest works, as promised in John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and even greater works than these shall he do. The following references are given to prove that this perfection is expected of God's children in this life. I am Almighty God. Walk thou before me, and be thou perfect. Genesis 17:1. Also, for I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourself, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Leviticus 11:44. And be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:48. It is through the hard work of living by God's law and purifying yourself and cleansing yourself of all sin that you can obtain the spiritual abilities through the name of Jesus. And if ye are purified and cleansed from all sin, ye shall ask whatsoever you will in the name of Jesus, and it shall be done. No man is truly ordained of God until he is purified and cleansed of all sin, or overcome all sin. For one who continues to live in pride, arrogance, self-seeking, and who fails to live the perfect laws of love and forgiveness, not just in a display of hypocritical words, but in the fullness of his whole soul. Only one who loves God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and his fellow man has fulfilled all the laws of perfection. The light shineth in darkness, or in the flesh, and the darkness, or the mortal mind, comprehendeth it not. Nevertheless, the day shall come when ye shall comprehend even God, being quickened in him and by him. Then shall ye know that ye have seen me, that I am, and that I am the true light that is in you, and that ye are in me. Otherwise, ye could not abound. Also know unto him that keepeth my commandment, I will give the mysteries of the kingdom, and the same shall be in him as a well of living water, springing up unto everlasting life. For the word of the Lord is truth, and whatsoever is truth is light, and whatsoever is light is spirit, even the spirit of Jesus Christ. And the spirit giveth light to every man that cometh into the world, and the spirit enlighteneth every man to the world that hearkeneth to the voice of the Spirit. And everyone that hearkeneth to the voice of the Spirit cometh unto God, even the Father. Celestial glory is a state of consciousness or awareness and understanding. It is man's heritage to look unto his Father and to claim his divine birthright. And as he lifts his eyes to perfection, he can no longer follow his old paths or mortal perceptions of weakness and sins. And as he lifts his heart to understand and opens his eyes to see and learns the power of the Word of God in his life and begins to live that Word, he becomes the very thing his vision holds. So be it according to each man's vision and his desires in righteousness, for the Spirit of God will bear witness to his spirit that this is true if he would but ask, seek, and knock. He that believeth these things which I have spoken, he will I visit with the manifestation of my spirit, and he shall know and bear record. For because of my spirit, he shall know that these things are true, for it persuadeth men to do good. Ether 4:11. The complete vision, understanding, and power with all light, joy, and knowledge is waiting for any man who would ask, seek, and knock. Man was never intended to go blundering through life, heaping unto himself mistake upon mistake, burden upon burden, misery upon misery. Man was created to be a bearer of light and glory, to manifest power, poise, and peace. This is what Christ meant when he said, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For you may enter again into his light." Thank you.
Wow. That's pretty powerful. You know, when we talk about, you know, miracles, mysteries, and prayer, if we back it up from right to left, we start with prayer and go to mysteries and then to miracles. And if you look at most of your Middle Eastern writings, including the Hebrew, the letters start on the right and go to the left. And even with the words that we have on today's show, I think that it starts from the right. And we don't always think about it, you know. I mean, even when we see certain things, we may see them from left to right. Oh, there's where it begins, and there's where the middle is, and there's where the end is. And I think that too often we're not really taught how to pray, except that Jesus taught us how to pray. And it's really unique, because I can honestly say, Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, I always pray in the Holy Trinity through the oneness of the Christ, that whatever prayer it is, or whatever I'm coming before the Holy Trinity for, and the Holy Trinity is one, and it is one as God. And I can honestly say, I have never been denied anything. I don't think there's been anything ever that I have sought, you know, with my heart as a need that was not answered. Somebody said the other day, You know, there's that song that says that thank God for unanswered prayers. Well, you know, too often we pray, but then we don't stop long enough to receive the answer we were seeking. And so we think that, well, that prayer didn't get answered, but we didn't take the time to listen. You know, when we pray, we're speaking, we're talking to God. But, you know, in setting back and putting the palms out like you're waiting to receive something to be laid into your hands, and just sit quietly for a few moments, you'd be amazed at how quickly what it is you need comes about. Now, will it come about in the morning, in the afternoon, in the daytime? It can come about at any time, but I will tell you this, 99% of anything, any opportunity that I have ever received has come at the 11th hour. And by that I mean that, you know, some would have given up. Some would have said, well, I'm just not going to get it, I guess. I'm not going to wait any longer. But you know what? If it's in your mind, then the not-so-shiny light, as the angels like to call them, you know, they know it too. It's in your mind. And so, in reality, God doesn't just say, oh, don't worry, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give it to you here or there. No, because then there would be obstacles placed in your way to keep you from achieving what it is that you have as a need or an opportunity. And what is that opportunity or need? Is it something that you are desiring, that you may be able to use it to further the kingdom of God, that you may use it to bring about a manifestation of the glory of your Creator so that others may be able to see it? Not that miracles will ever be that which changes an individual, because we will too often find a way to explain it out. We do it all the time. You'd probably be amazed. Can you think of one miracle that you may have had, you know, yesterday, the day before that? I can tell you this, hardly a day goes by that a miracle doesn't happen to me. Now, is it, you know, lightning and thunder from the sky? No, that's usually just a thunderstorm. But, you know, things occur that they just boggle the mind. And sometimes they're small. But the small ones are sometimes the most incredible ones. But they come out of nowhere. Sometimes I'll make a right instead of a left. Or I'll turn into a parking lot I didn't intend to. Pulled into a parking lot and went inside the store, come back out. Just as I get to the end of my car, my vehicle, the door opens up on the car next to me, and out gets this little old man, and he's got a walker. And I don't know how old he was, but he was up there in age, and he had a long white beard, and it pretty much went down to his knees, and it was in a point. I mean, literally, you know, I would have been amazed if his name wasn't Father Time. And I just kind of looked at him, and he walked right straight up to me. And I was at the back end of my car. He walked right straight up to me with his walker, and he looked up at me, and he said, do you know where I can get a little dog? And I said, I kind of smiled at him, and I said, well, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. I said, what do you want a little dog for? He said, well, my wife passed away about a year ago. He said, and I get lonely. And I thought if I had a little dog that it could help keep me company and I wouldn't feel so lonely. And I thought, boy, that is, what more could you say than that? I mean, and I looked at him and I said, have you prayed about it? And he said, I pray every day. And I said, this was right before Christmas. And I said, by January 1st, you'll have your little dog. Okay, he said. And he took his walker and he walked around me and he went inside the store. And it was a handyman type store. And I just kind of stood there in amazement. But before I could even turn to get into my car, up through the parking lot comes another gentleman. And he's got a little Dachshund, one of the little Dachshunds, and hits on a leash. And he walks right up to me with this little dog. And I looked at it and I smiled. And he said, you'll never guess where I got it. I said, I'm waiting. And he said, there's a new store on the other side of Frederick, Maryland, and they have all kinds of dogs. He said, now, most people want medium-sized dogs or big dogs. So they don't really want little dogs. He said, so they are just overrun with little dogs. He said, it took me 2 hours total to get this dog. And I said, well, let me tell you a story. And so I told him the story about the older gentleman and how he wanted the dog for company and his wife had died. And he looked at me and he said, well, I tell you what. He said, I'll even take him and drive him up there so he can get his little dog. I thought, well, he just walked into the store and you can't miss him because, like I said, his beard comes to a point and it's got to be all the way down to his knees. He said, I'll find him. Don't you worry. And he takes the dog on the leash and he walks it into the store and away he went. And I thought to myself, now what are the chances that I would have been at the back of my vehicle when the older gentleman with his walker gets out and we end up at the back of my vehicle at the exact same moment? And for him to walk up to me and ask me if I knew where he could get a little dog. I mean, those have to be looked at what they are. They are miracles. You are performing for God, you know, and bringing about God's manifestation in the material realm because God is spirit. And spiritual beings, you know, they typically affect the material realm through those who have been born into the material realm. When they follow God's law or when they follow spirit enough to say, use me, Lord. If you can, throughout the day, I don't care if they're little teeny opportunities, if they are opportunities to help bring about the manifestation and the glory of God, you know, I don't care how little they are or how big they are, you know, use me and thy will be done. And when I pray like that, it never fails to occur at least once a day where somebody like that. Now, I have no doubt that that gentleman took that older gentleman to where he got his dog, and that gentleman was able to get his dog before New Year's. And, you know, it made my heart jump. How could it not? I mean, to be able to be a part of, you know, the work of God, that what were the chances that the older gentleman and the young man with the dog, because I don't think he was going to go into that store. He was just simply walking by and up through the parking lot, giving the dog a walk. But being the catalyst between the two is what it's all about. Where two or more are gathered, I am there also. And that way, you know, the Holy Spirit, Christ, the Father, they can work through you to bring about those things that you may think are just little things. Well, that doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, that's not, you know, you're not saving a war. Well, you never know when you may be called upon to do that. But will you be ready? Will you recognize that you're being called? And when you recognize the little things, and I could give you a million of those, but when you begin to recognize the little things that place you at the right time, in the right place, at the right moment, and it occurs, the opportunity occurs, you take advantage of it. I was in the line at the checkout, and, you know, I was talking with my wife, and there was a woman beside me and her husband, and they had a daughter, and she had the most beautiful red hair. She was about 16 years old, blue eyes. And I looked at the mother, and I said, is that your daughter? And she said, well, yes, it is. And I said, she's got the most beautiful red hair. I said, and she's got blue eyes. I said, do you realize that that's 2% of 2% of the population is all that is that has those, the combination of those two? And she said, oh my golly, she goes, I cannot believe that this is occurring in the checkout line at Costco. And I looked at her and I said, what do you mean? And she said, I have been praying for someone to come along that could explain to my daughter that her red hair and blue eyes are not a curse, that boys will notice her and boys will ask her out and she's a beautiful young woman. And yet she had this doubt about the fact that none of her friends had red hair and blue eyes, and so therefore she must be odd. And I looked at her and I said, let me tell you something. From the beginning of time, it was always the red-headed, blue-eyed women that the kings themselves sought out. I said, even, you know, Queen Elizabeth, it just passed. You realize her hair was bright red and blue-eyed. She had her hair dyed black from day one, but it was bright red from the time she was born. And the daughter looked at me and she said, but guys, they sneer, they make comments. I said, you know what? Guys at 16, well, you know, they don't know what they're doing. They have no clue, no idea. And, you know, and I have to say it, but women, they do, you know, they do grow in wisdom a little faster than men do or boys. And at 16, if they're picking on you, it's because they like you. You know, they're waiting to see if you like them back or if you give them a sneer because you think they're picking on you. It's the opposite, you know, and you'll find that polarity of opposites in a lot of things, especially with the red hair and the blue eyes. You will find polarity occurs a lot within your life. You just have to learn how to take those polarities and put them together. I said, and then you have one. I said, and the easiest way to do that is with Christ. Christ is the one through whom all extremes are met. I said, and you put the two together, and he brings the two into one. I said, trust me, you'll have no problem in getting dates when you want them. You have a magnetic quality about yourself, as did my wife. She had, I mean, the brightest red hair when I met her, and blue eyes, and it's gotten a little more, you know, blonde now, but, I mean, it was bright red. And I'm not sure she knew the quality of what that red hair meant. But if you look on TV, you'll see that more and more and more and more people that are starring in shows are redheaded and blue-eyed, and the bad guys are brown-eyed. It's just an observation. My wife says, oh, I don't think that's true. But when she watches the show with me, she'll go, no, see, that one has brown eyes. I said, you just picked one out of 100. And, okay, I'll give you that. But when it comes to prayer, look at how Jesus prayed. Now, you may say, well, but Jesus was Jesus. I mean, he was the Son of God. I mean, Jesus was God. Jesus was an aspect of the Creator who put himself into flesh so that he could experience everything that could possibly be experienced in polarity and wipe the slate clean. And ever since, Jesus bowed his head on the cross and said, Father, it is finished. It is finished. Every sin that you could possibly make doesn't have to be cleared under the law. It can be cleared through asking that the Christ remove it from you. And when you go to God in prayer, do you ask for things? Even if you need them, do you ask for things? Don't you think God already knows what you need? When Jesus prayed, once in a while he'd say, Father, I say this out loud so that those who hear me might know that the manifestation of what I'm about to do is from you. Because otherwise they'll come up with some explanation as to why it happened or how it happened. Well, he wasn't really dead. He was just faking it. Or, you know, he was asleep. Or, I mean, and it's human nature to try and come up with a reason that fits our belief system. And yet, these kinds of things, even the little ones, can expand your faith, your belief, if you want to put it that way. But it expands your faith. And when it expands your faith, it allows more light to come into your body. And that's the whole idea. Allow it to expand you and expect that God may choose to use you throughout that day, and be prepared for it. You walk the walk. Lord God, all I ask is that my will be your will. I wish to walk in your will, and each step I take, allow me to be where I need to be, when I need to be, so that I do not miss the opportunities that await me. If I can help to bring the glory of God and the manifestation of Spirit into the material realm for others to see, not for my glory, but for thy glory. And I will always give you the glory. And it's important that we do, because too often it's easy for humankind to want to take a little bit of the, you know, well, I'm really smart. That's how come it happened. You know, well, God was involved, but I'm really smart. And, you know, we shouldn't take any of the gratitude or any of the, you know, of the glory for what occurs, because everything is God. Everything belongs to God. The light existed in every aspect, every corner, every place that existed and didn't exist, the light was there. There has never been a time that the light did not exist. Even though our eyes today might not be able to see it, because there are so many ranges of it. And that's what we want to reach for, are those higher ranges, so that we can see the greater glory of God. And so it's in the prayer. When Jesus prayed, he commanded, take up thy bed and walk. Thy sins are forgiven. And I'm not saying that you have all the same abilities Jesus had. But Jesus said, these things I do, you do and more. And you can reach or attain that. How? By walking in the will of Christ, the will of God. When you walk in that will, and it becomes your will, nothing outside of it. Don't veer off to the right or veer off to the left. Keep your focus on Christ. You can walk on water just as Peter did. And the whole idea is, you know, keep your eyes on God. And, you know, there will be those, you know, who test your integrity, you know, well, you know, we could both make, you know, this much money, you know, and nobody'd ever know it if you just, you know, even just once. Not even just one. You know, do not allow your integrity to be pulled to one side or pulled to the other. Keep your eyes on Christ. And would Christ do it? If Christ wouldn't do it, don't do it. It's that simple. You do what you know Christ to do. And if you need to, read the book of Acts, because you'll see most of the things that Christ did physically or materially. But he loved as a man, but he loved perfectly. He got angry as a man, but he angered perfectly. You know, he loved the little children because of their innocence. And that's why it says you must become as a little child if you wish to enter the kingdom of heaven, because you have to have that innocence where you say, I need a father and a mother. I need a father and a mother God. I need them to take up my life and guide me, just as a little child would need their parents to guide them. And, you know, children don't worry about 9 to 5. They don't worry about, am I going to get done today, all everything I need to get done? And if not, am I going to worry about it? No. It just happens. They do it. Why? And one could say, well, they don't really know if they got it done or not, what they were trying to do. Yes, they do. You know, when you don't worry about time, when you don't worry about, you know, how much you're going to get done, you'd be amazed at how much easier everything flows when you have the will of God within you. You know, my will and yours, guide me on the steps I should take so that I make less mistakes, so that, and if I do make a mistake, you know, forgive me and wipe it out. And because it's already in the past, the moment you do a mistake, there is no now. It's already in the past. It's a memory. And so, you know, these are no longer important except if you don't release them into the hands of your God, then they will follow you and they will accumulate and they will bring along things that to confuse you, to, you know, keep you from finishing your path, doing the things you need to do, and hitting your finger with a hammer. You know, it's amazing how when you're walking with Christ, that it's different and it feels different. The love in your heart feels different. How many things do you do for others? Everything that you do should be for others, for Christ, and for others. Isn't that what Christ did? I mean, everything he did was for others. He fed 5,000, and most of them couldn't have cared whether they heard his sermon or not. They came for the free food. But he still fed them.
There's an interesting thing, too, that I wanted to add.
Okay.
Is that the light of the Christ, when it's been brought forth, it completes, and the fulfillment of it is truly the end of the law. And from there on, one is no longer under the law, but is abundantly, eternally free, one with God.
That's correct. And that was what Jesus was all about, fulfilling the law. And when you fulfill the law, you become the law. And that's why he was able to walk on water and do things that even in nature that others couldn't do and they couldn't understand why. And it really was that there is a matrix, but you overcome that matrix when you walk with Christ because he overcame it. And there will always be a part of heaven that's above you. You can't see heaven from where you are. It takes faith. And so, you know, it doesn't matter if you're on the 15th level. To get to the 16th, you have to have faith that it exists. And Christ showed us that it exists. And we still doubt it. And it doesn't matter what religion you are. You know, follow what it is that your God teaches you. And somebody once asked me, what is a religion? I thought about it for a minute and I said, honestly, I can't tell you what a religion is, but I can tell you what it's not. And the person said, well, is there a difference? And I said, oh, yes, there's a difference. I said, there are many religions. Many have dogma. Some, you know, maybe not. I said, but I seldom hear a preacher, you know, when they end a prayer through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They ended the Son. They don't realize that there's a Trinity. And it's the three that make the difference. The only way to combine two is to have a third. And when you have three, it's three in one. And the Holy Spirit is the one that moves like a mighty rushing wind through the earth. And she brings you comfort. Even at a time in the middle of a war zone, you can be as comfortable as you need to be. Trust me. You can. I've done it. I have been in, you know, in Islamic countries that were under martial law and traveling with a full-bore colonel where we had to go in and extract Americans that, you know, to make sure they were safe because, you know, they were in hiding and they weren't sure they were going to be safe. The president was arrested, put in jail, and a Western government was installed and you know, I had to walk over dead bodies to get to the room that I was staying in. And the manifestation of God was incredible because they would try to pick on the colonel. I mean, you'd see him come out of nowhere, two girls, you know, and they would try to, you know, try to seduce them or whatever. And it was like, I'd stand by and I'd back and I'd watch, you know. And it's like, they never tried to do that to me because number one, I made sure that God was with me the whole way. You know, I was able to walk into a mall and to the left was a set of steps and I walked up the steps only to find that the entire mall was, you know, run by the previous government and it was selling children and women as sex slaves. And it were just banks upon banks upon banks of computers. And I was walking up and down the aisles, and I was looking at all the computer screens and the bids were being made by which countries. And, you know, and I thought, this is how they actually, you know, had money laundered and come into the country. And, you know, this was on a massive scale. Can you imagine how large a mall is? And the entire upstairs was nothing but computer banks. And we were able, with the help of God, we were able to, you know, shut that down and, you know, place the ones that were in charge of it, which were the former chief of staff and others of the president that had been put in prison. And, you know, and they were put, they were in jail, and they were probably given 10-year sentences. But, you know, the guy I was with, he was a colonel in the Marine Corps. I mean, he looked at me and he said, "You don't flinch. You don't seem to even, you know, you don't worry. You don't, I mean, you realize what you just walked into." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I did." I said, "But they didn't notice, did they? They let me look at every screen." He said, "They did." I said, "I know." I said, "Because God was there. And what are you going to do? Turn around and, you know, go up against God? God doesn't have any adversaries. We think that, well, the devil is an adversary. Devil's no adversary. Devil's only an adversary to us. You know, he tries hard to make himself be God. But he's not. But he promised, even in the Old Testament, he promised the Hebrews, even after they had made a covenant with God the day before, he would come along and promise them, you know, better crops and, you know, and plenty of water and all the things they could want. And they would move right over. Child sacrifice. I mean, really? I mean, the day after a covenant with God was made? Why? Because we are sometimes so much in a hurry to get what we want that we don't think about it. Well, it must be God's involved, right? I mean, if it's, you know, it's happening like that. No, it's not. That's not the way God works. You know, seldom will you ever pray for something that it'll happen today or happening right at the moment that you pray, unless it's something that really is necessary and God has already prepared for it, for you. But your whole life has been prepared, and there are miracles waiting just to come forth. You just need to be on the path at the right moment, at the right time, for that opportunity to make itself known. If you need a new car, you know, it's okay to go before God and pray with all your heart that you need good transportation to be able to work, and share what you receive, because that's a commandment. You know, sharing for the purpose, or receiving for the purposes of sharing. If you don't do that, you will lose it all. And it's okay to ask for reliable transportation. Don't try to tell God what it should look like. Well, I'd like for it to be red. I'd like for it to be kind of sporty, you know, maybe with, turbo engine or whatever it may be. You know, now you're taking the gift away from God. Let God choose what God knows is best for you. And that's the key. You walk in one with the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Christ hand in hand. And let God's will be the driving force behind you. And what you receive has to be shared with those less fortunate. You may think, well, you know, there will always be poor. Maybe there will. That doesn't mean you shouldn't give them a sandwich.
Yeah, true. And, you know, when you talked about faith, Jim, that's so important, because it was faith that mankind had lost. Faith to look up, faith in yourself, faith in your fellow man, and most of all, faith in the power and goodness of the Almighty God. You know, we have to know the most important thing is to be strong and hold your faith and know that it will happen. It's that when you give up and don't believe, it's like you lose all that you could gain.
It's true. And, you know, it's doing those things that don't always feel comfortable. I was in a restaurant once, and I could hear across the room this older lady and her daughter, and they were arguing about something, and I didn't know exactly what. But I could feel inside me that God was saying, you need to go over there and tell her that I've heard her prayers and that it will be answered. And I thought, I don't even know that woman. I've never seen her before in my life. She's going to think I'm a nut. Just do it. And so the daughter got up and went to the bathroom. So I got up out of my booth and I went over there and I looked at the lady and I said, hi, you know, I know you don't know me, but God has heard your prayers and they are going to be answered. And so then I went back to my booth and I didn't think any more about it. But as her and her daughter were leaving, just as they walked by my booth, they didn't notice me. She didn't. But the word she said was, you'll never believe it, but when you went to the bathroom, an angel came to me and told me that God had heard my prayers.
And you were her angel.
At that moment.
Yes. She so needed to hear that from someone that really, you know, she didn't know that, you know, so that she could believe it. And you gave her that hope and that she needed to.
And I knew God would answer. I knew that God would answer that prayer. I just knew it. I mean, with every part of my being.
When we become so one with God, the messages will flow through us and we will be used as an instrument to go and tell people things. So it is important that we keep attuned and that we know our connection with God.
Absolutely.
With Spirit. Yeah.
If anyone would like more information, it's 304-567-3354 or sandysangeltalk@aol.com or tllcchurch@aol.com. Write us, call us. We'd love to be able to talk with you. And until then, may God richly bless each one of you.
We thank you for joining us for this radio show, and we do hope that you will join us again in 2 weeks.
God bless.